Yo, it's Amala Benobi here for Unapologetic Live. I'm so happy to be here with you guys on this most auspicious Thursday. Now, we don't have Taylor in the producer's bay. We don't have Scott in the producer's bay. We got Spencer.
What's up, everybody?
Normally, you hear Spencer's name because he's the one moderating the chat and talking to you guys back and forth and screaming at you to get this stream to 100 likes. So you guys hopefully can do that on your own today without Spencer's help. I'm excited to be here. We're going to do something that we haven't done in a long time, and that is a Jubilee reaction. We used to do this quite a bit on this channel, going and looking at their middle ground or their political spectrum talks and all this stuff. This particular video is a ranking video. They brought on five liberals to come and talk to each other about where they fall on the political spectrum and rank each other from least liberal to most liberal. And then they take a political compass test at the end of it to find out really what the true answer is. Of course, on the basis of whatever this political compass test is. I went and looked it up and actually did one for myself as well. And we'll look at the results of that at the very end. And I encourage you guys to do the same. Maybe I'll drop the link in the description after the stream today. So let's get right into this Jubilee video without further ado.
My name is Max. I turned 24 today. It is my birthday. I work in the video game industry.
My name is Chris. I'm 26 years old, currently between jobs, so I don't know, just a person living.
I'm a Jay.
Just a person living.
I work in nonprofit education. I'm 27.
Yeah. I'm Brandy. I am 30, and I own a wellness and lifestyle brand.
Okay. I'm Allison. I'm 26, and I'm an ad writer slash editor.
So just straight into it, just like what I think would count as like a left-leaning person.
I'm curious what you guys think. Do you guys get an idea just from looking at people who is the most liberal here? You can write that down in the comments below because they all said their names. I don't remember what their names are. I already forgot them. I remember Max. but let me know. I have no guess as of late who it is. I'm leaning towards health and wellness lady because, you know, health and wellness, you know, it goes along with sort of liberalism, although I think conservatives are starting to get on the health and wellness train, or at least be super skeptical of Western medicine with the recent events of the past 2 years. Let's continue.
Pushing for medical care for everyone, free medical care for everyone, stuff like that. I want this person to be a living wage. I want this person to be living comfortably. I want this person to just like live. If I had one thing to say to people in general in a large population is like, fight for other people's rights, fight for other people's comfortability, make sure other humans are human to you.
Pretty general statement. I get into this is that I have a feeling people go, well, yeah, if you just want everybody to live comfortably and you want everybody to have a house, it makes you a liberal. I think we're going to find that there's going to be some deviation as the conversation gets deeper. But Max does have a Spirited Away tattoo, and so do I. So we're on each other's team in one way or another.
I would prioritize, which is like someone on that side would prioritize. Like I would fair housing before most things.
Yeah. Because
if you guarantee housing, I guarantee you most problems will be solved.
What would you be willing to lose for that?
Ooh. Okay. Well, I need like a sound for like false claim button, like a false claim sound. If you guarantee housing for people, it doesn't automatically fix all of the problems. I actually want to go back and see exactly what he said so we can discuss exactly what the statement that was made.
What I would prioritize, which is like someone on that side would prioritize, like I would fair housing before most things.
Yeah. Because
if you guarantee housing, I guarantee you most problems will be solved.
If you guarantee housing, I guarantee you most of the problems will be solved. Not true, ladies and gentlemen. And California as a state is just a prime example of this sort of rhetoric being implemented in policy form and then not following through on what the intentions were and the result being totally different. Where how we treat homelessness here in California is unbelievable. Besides like allowing people to just do drugs openly on the streets and not providing ample mental health facilities for people who struggle with mental health disability, we are simply approaching it with what we call a housing first method, which is let's just push aside all the other issues that we're experiencing right now and just put up some affordable housing projects and all that fun stuff and then throw people into this affordable housing network. It doesn't solve the underlying problems for why people are experiencing homelessness, poverty, things like that. So you can build a bunch of houses and throw people in it, and we can talk about whether or not that is something that we should do and whether or not that is effective. But so far, hasn't been very effective. If you look at the state of California, the state that spends the most money in our entire union on homelessness yet has the most pervasive problem. So I have an issue with the housing first treatment of this problem.
What would you be willing to lose for that, though?
I would lose like a good amount of military spending for fair housing.
Of course.
Oh, yeah,
I would
absolutely.
Also.
I think we all would.
Yeah, I think we can all agree on that.
Because
yeah.
I think that there are people that are conservative, maybe not like extreme right wing, but they would say that they believe in like LGBT rights, but they're fiscally conservative. Oh, I'm pro whatever.
True.
But if you're not like putting money toward those things, I just don't feel like you're actually saying that you believe in it.
What's your guys' view on like the whole Palestine-Israel situation?
Yeah.
They're all just like, yeah, pro-Palestine immediately. Immediately, all of them.
Yeah. Do you guys have an idea for like a solution, two-state solution?
Like a two-state solution?
Yeah, anything, really.
No, because it's like really hard, but like I do know that I care a little bit more about that than the Ukraine thing right now. Because like it's not the worst thing I've seen this past 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good.
I don't even know what to say to that. I don't even have like a response to it. Okay, you care about one thing more than the other. I think typically people have that when it comes to all issues in life. There are things that you care about more than you care about the others. But there seems to be a general lack of knowledge when it comes to the conflict in itself. When he just asked, you want a two-state or a one-state solution? What are you looking for there? And he's just like, I don't know. But I know that I care about it because I saw it on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. Not just speculating. So far, this has been a very reasonable conversation, which I'm happy to see, but it also is five liberals talking to each other. I'd be interested to see what would happen if we threw somebody who's conservative into this mix to discuss their talking points.
Good point that there's all this, like, all the Ukraine flags everywhere and everyone's all throwing all the support when, like, the Palestine-Israel conflict has been happening for way longer. How do we feel about, like, PC culture? Like,
are you talking about, like, cancel culture?
Canceling?
Cancel, yeah.
Canceling is fake, in my opinion. It's not something that actually is happening.
I'm just gonna say Dave.
Did she just call fake news on cancel culture? It's totally happening. I could see where somebody on the liberal progressive end of things might go, well, it's not cancel culture. It's just people being held accountable. Therefore, cancel culture is not real. But it very much so is real. People committing an act, whether or not in their present or in their past, and people finding out about it and going, okay, well, now you don't deserve a job. Or you don't deserve a platform. Or if you do have a platform, you don't deserve to be seen by the same amount of people you were being seen by before. So we're going to shadow ban you and censor the things that you're saying. So to outright deny that cancel culture exists is just empirically false. You can view it with your own eyes and see it happen. Johnny Depp has been a great example that has now been taken to trial and it's gone through its course. Of course, what, 6-7 years later after the initial claim was made. But cancel culture is very much a real thing. You saw a man get accused of sexual assault and domestic violence and then subsequently lose every single major job that he had on his roster. So to say that cancel culture doesn't exist, it's false.
Dave Chappelle, question mark?
Does anyone's opinion change different after that last special?
There was a part in the special where he said, hey, I'm just a human going through an experience.
Yeah.
I think that was the main thing that everyone kind of missed. Like when he was talking about his friend that had passed away from all that, I think he just got misquoted. Yeah.
I also think him saying, I'm just a person having an experience, is him just kind of putting the cushion down. Like, hey guys, I know you're going to knock me. Just like, don't hurt me too bad.
So far, I really love this conversation, and we're actually giving voice to the things that I feel like when we're on the internet, we don't often hear the voice of. With this Dave Chappelle scenario in particular, I went and thought, this comedy special is going to be insane with the amount of rhetoric that I'm hearing on the internet about how transphobic he is, how he doesn't care about trans lives, how he's homophobic, all this stuff. And then I went and watched it, and it was jokes about white people, jokes about black people, jokes about gay people, jokes about trans people, and then all buttoned up in this beautiful message of, even though we see these things and we recognize them and we joke about them, I still have a friend, a dear friend who's transgender, who is no longer with us because of the amount of bullying this person received for being associated with Dave Chappelle. But you watch it and Dave Chappelle talks about this transgender person whom he was very close to and says, you know, this woman told me that she was just having a human experience and that if nobody understood anything else about her, she wanted them to understand that she was simply having a human experience and that's why she's here and she's just trying to live her life in the way that her mind and her body is telling her to. And he was very sympathetic to that. In fact, invited this person to be an opener at many of his comedy shows and boosted their career. So there's clearly a lot of misunderstanding and it seems as though there is a group of people We can call it small and fringe or whatever. We can call it a large group of people. We can decide and debate that later on. That watch things like the Dave Chappelle comedy special, hear the one part that gets them enraged, and then run with that part. And don't care about the intent of the jokes made. Don't care about reconciliation throughout the special. They hear the one thing that makes them upset, and they run with that one thing until the cows come home and cause this whole scene where you have Netflix employees protesting and picket signing outside the headquarters. And it shows that people don't care enough to look deeply into the things that they claim to care about. So I'm glad that they're having this discussion about, wait. I just think he was misquoted and misunderstood.
No, but that's real, though. That is a real thing, though.
It is a real thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I don't.
There are certain things that are, like, sort of, like, deal breakers, right? And so I have people, if it's a deal breaker, then no. They're not friends.
Yeah, I got friends that are on the right side spectrum. I got cousins that are, you know, I guess you can say racist or whatever. I actually engage in conversations with them just because.
I like how they're like, yeah, I got ones who are right wing, also racist, as if those two things are somehow synonymous. Disagree there. But it's interesting. I'm curious, you guys, do you guys have friends who are left leaning, liberal, progressive, or maybe more center than you are? And let me know in the comments down below. I'm curious to see if we have a higher likelihood of people on the right wing of the spectrum being friends with people who they disagree with. There's been studies and polling done about this that shows that people who are on the right end of the spectrum are typically more comfortable having friends being friends with people who disagree with them, whereas left-leaning people tend to be a little less open to the possibility. And I think it's because in recent years, we've decided to attach wherever you stand politically to some sort of moral value and some sort of characteristic that you constantly carry with you as a means of separating us and creating division. Because I have friends who completely disagree with me on so many of the things that I like post on Instagram or I talk about in my videos, and they're very open about it, and we can still go out and grab dinner or go dancing or whatever it is that we want to do, and that doesn't impede our relationship building outside of politics. And I saw that happen more and more as I moved to LA. My roommate is friends with a lot of liberal and left-leaning people, and they were totally fine and accepting of what I do as a career, and some of them even watch my videos to get a different perspective. So I think there are people on all sides of things who are totally comfortable with being friends. However, when you meet people who have this staunch view of, no, it's part of your moral value, I can't be friends with people who disagree with me, often they are progressive, and I think that links in with cancel culture that we've seen spring up time and time again, as people's old statements get brought up or they say something that's a little culturally taboo. So let me know, do you guys make friends with those who disagree with you? I know there's a lot of conservatives who say they would never be friends with liberals as well. So let me know. I hope that we are open to being friends with people who we disagree with.
Because I want to see where they're coming from.
It would be cool to get to a point where the right's like, oh, wow, so these people genuinely are pushing for stuff that does affect us in a friendly manner.
But do you think that people think that? Do you think that people on the right think everyone deserves a home, or do you think that they feel
No, of course they don't. They don't think that. Of course they don't.
I wouldn't think your typical conservative, if you stop them on the street and ask, do you think that everybody deserves a house, or let's get it a little bit more specific, every American citizen deserves a house. You'd probably get a lot of people who say deserve is a really, really strong word. Typically, on the conservative end of the spectrum, we like to see some give and take. You have to contribute something to society. And part of this political compass test is talking about, you know, to each according to his ability, to each according to his need, and this idea that everybody should just give what they feel like they're able to give. And when they do that, they should still receive all the comfort and furnishings and shelter as everybody else. I disagree with that idea. And that's where I think the word deserve is a little strong. There is contribution that's needed to live in a well-functioning, civilized society. So I think that's where conservatives would disagree. And I think they're going to get into this discussion of what you need to give in order to deserve something.
Beliefs are so extreme that it kind of crosses into like a morality question for me of like, who they are as people, how they view other people, and I don't want to interact consistently in a friend relationship with someone like that.
I don't know, I don't think that just because you label yourself a certain way politically, you can't be with people who are on the other side.
Good,
and it's not that like they're bad people, but it is sometimes I think about like, would they be my friend if I was a certain color or a certain like religion? Like, would they still like me?
I grew up.
By and large, yes, absolutely. It's interesting because I had this view of what it meant to be conservative years back, of course, and I thought, okay, well, it's just these white cisgendered people who have no diversity. I would feel so unrepresented. In fact, they don't even care about my opinion. And then you walk into spaces that are conservative and you look around, you go, oh, wait a second. There's a lot of different people from all walks of life who are here simply supporting this message because it's about values. It's really not about skin color or sexuality or all those things. And you will find people who try to put you in the weeds of that argument and bring up those things. But by and large, that's not the heart of our argument. We're talking about values. We're talking about the way that our economy should run. We're talking about the importance of family and structure. We're talking about the importance of contributing instead of deserving things just outright by being born. And that's where we tend to disagree on things. It's not like we devalue people based on their skin color or their sexuality. And I think you'll find that these spaces are actually quite diverse, not because they need to be, because right now we're in this culture where we say, well, everything needs to be diverse. We need to make that diversity higher. We need more Black people. We need more Hispanics. No, conservatism isn't diverse because it has to be or because we felt this need to make it diverse. It simply is. It simply is because you can be anything and have conservative values, just like you can be anything and have liberal values.
Up in the church, I was in my church's band. I was like, I had multiple weeks where I preached. And then one day I was like, oh man, this sucks. These people have views that are anti-human while they're the ones here preaching, love each other, love everyone. I'm like, you hate your neighbor. Like, you're the ones telling me that gay people deserve to burn in hell. I genuinely did lose a lot of friends when I stepped out of that.
So, like, was it more personal or, like, more political, though?
It's probably more political. A lot of people that are more pro-life. It's like, this is the most, like, normal thing we could do is be pro-choice.
Is it? Okay, I'm not going to get into the pro-life versus pro-choice debate or whatever. You guys know how I feel about it. But is that the most normal thing to not let pregnancy go to full term and have a baby? Is that the most normal thing to have a medical practitioner end your pregnancy? I'd go out as far as to say that it's probably not the most normal or natural thing to be having a discussion about. As far as disillusionment with religious figures and whatever religious setting you're in, that seems to be the backbone for what I think a lot of liberals believe, is that conservatism is sort of overwhelmed with religiosity and talk of God and the Bible and all this stuff, and then they take a qualm with that, and then they go, because of that, I am not a conservative and I couldn't possibly be a conservative. You still could. I'm just saying. I happen to be an a-religious person who is also conservative because the values, although many attach them to their religions, and rightfully so, because if that's the doctrine that you live by, you would certainly want to find the value set or the side of the political aisle that best represents your religious views. But I subscribe to most of what conservatives have to say without having that religious background. So it's something to think about as to whether or not that's a blinder for you listening to people who disagree with you and taking that blinder off for a moment just to hear them out.
And they're like, no.
Some women have a hard time being able to get like their tubes tied, you know, if they don't have children or if they're too, like the doctor decides they're too young.
Yeah, you
know?
It's like,
it's a personal health decision that's being taken.
We could move now. I don't know. I felt like it was more about trying to prove who's the most of the most.
AG's not wrong. We did a similar video to this where I think they brought, I don't know if it was Jubilee or The Cut or some other YouTube channel, where they brought in six people to decide who was the most woke. And it ended up being just this battle of like virtue signaling of I've done this for this group of people and I'm a member of this underrepresented community and I did this and this and that and I attended this protest and this is when I started doing it. And it got so far into the weeds of wokeness that the person that they awarded the crown of being the most woke was like, out of wokeness, I can't take this crown. And that's how far it got. Now, this seems to be a much more reasonable conversation. It seems like they're pretty self-aware of where they're at and what they're talking about. But I could see how things like this on both sides of the aisle could easily turn into just this competition of, well, I did this. Oh, well, I helped this person elevate their voice very easily. Okay. We're going to rank each other.
I'm probably going to go.
Okay. Who are you guys thinking? And Spencer, you can cut in here if you have any thoughts too. Who do you guys think is the most woke so far?
I don't know what his name is, but the white guy.
The white guy? Okay, Max. I think his name is Max.
Yeah.
I think it's black girl, and then I would have put Max, and then I would have put the white girl, black guy, and then the Hispanic guy. That's where I would have ranked them. You guys let me know in the comments where you would have ranked them. But I'm going black girl being the most liberal and white boy being second place.
One over here, maybe?
I'm over here.
So okay. Then you would have to come here.
So yeah, I would maybe put myself here. I don't know. It's hard because it feels like we all agree to a degree on a lot of
that's
things.
That's what I'm saying. So we need to ask like a controversial question.
Controversial question. How do you feel about like the police?
I do think they're necessary evil.
Unnecessary evil. Unnecessary evil, you, that's such a simple thing to say to just like remain on both sides of the argument and be like, well, you could construe that as being liberal or you can construe that as being conservative. But really what you're saying is the police are necessary and that they serve a purpose in our society, as we all know, to deter crime and keep our community safe and healthy. I'm curious to see what the rest of them say to this question.
I think regulations are important.
Sir,
I
you
think
can move.
You gotta definitely, police unions. I think police unions are like the biggest, strongest unions in the country.
They are.
We should check out those teachers' unions, though. My goodness.
I don't know if I would say ACAB. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I do believe in.
Yeah. Oh.
All right.
Max said I absolutely would. Maybe he's moving up in the roster before this black girl, because she just said I don't know that I would go as far as to say that all cops are B words.
Taking some of their budget and redistributing it to like services that will help people.
The fact that,
you know, when people say that, I want to what progressives will say, divest and revest into what and where exactly in the police budget are you going to take money that has been allocated to the police department? And how do you decide what's most important for police departments and what should be reinvested into? I feel like we get into this frivolous discussion about how we view things. And from an uneducated standpoint, we go, well, yeah, I'd take money from this thing and then I'd put the money over here. And without specificity, it's just you're just saying words. You are just saying, I think police are less important than putting money into social services. And often that's unsubstantiated, and the police are more than necessary, and in fact are underpaid and overworked in a lot of the departments that they're working in, especially in a place here like LA, which has one of the most high-functioning, well-trained police departments in this entire nation.
The New York Police Department is like the size of a military is terrifying.
The New York Police Department is the size of a military, terrifying. That's sort of, it doesn't matter what the size of the New York Police Department is technically, because they create the size of the police department for what is necessary to respond to. The last thing that your government wants is to pay money to somebody who's doing something unnecessary, even though they do it all the time. But that's the last thing they want. They don't want to hire more people and have to pay more people. They do so because New York is a particularly high crime area that needs a lot of police officers. So saying that the size of the New York Police Department is synonymous to the size of a military force, which I don't know what military force you're talking about, it's not an argument. And even if it's true, doesn't quite matter, does it, if those police officers are functioning there out of necessity?
And that's so scary, and you see a lot of bad things occur from that.
For that reason.
Like, do you...
Yeah,
they're like, move on up, baby!
Okay. Military?
I mean, again, like a necessary evil.
Yeah. I'm very pro-military.
Well, I just got a lot of friends from like economic purposes. I had to join the military, you know, for like, and the military gives you teaches you a lot of things about life discipline, which helps people translate into civilian life, I feel.
Do you feel like there's a bigger issue there though? Like that people have to go into the military in order to be economically sound? Like, I feel like it's a jobs program.
You don't have to. At the end of the day, it is a choice. Now, you will find, like, I remember when the military recruiters used to come to my high school and they're like, any kid that can do 20 push-ups, we're going to recruit you. And that was a little strange. And then they're like, hey, kids, you want free college? Just sign your life over to the military and enlist for X amount of time and you'll get free college. Little strange. Totally get it. But a little strange, and I could see how it could come off that way. But at the end of the day, it is a choice, and nobody's forcing you to join the military. There's plenty of other avenues that you can seek and plenty other paths that you can take in order to garner income or higher education and all that fun stuff. Although higher education is a separate debate with how expensive it is now, and something that we should definitely do a full episode on. Because I feel like that's where a lot of people are making the choice to head towards progressivism and leftism, is that they're looking at what conservatives would say, you know, the American dream and picking yourself up by the bootstraps. You know, the common words and phrases that people on the progressive left throw and say, well, where is the American dream? Because I feel like I need to go to the military in order to support myself financially or to get my school covered. And then you tell me I don't. And I look at the prices to go to school and it's like $20,000 a semester, $20,000 to like $60,000 a semester to go. And a lot of that has to do with establishment and bureaucracy and this synergistic relationship between our universities and our government. And that's most definitely something that we should talk about, because young people see that, and then they hear the progressive left go, I'll cover that for you, even though they won't. I'll cover that for you. I'll take care of it. Daddy government is here to save you, baby girl. And then they're like, oh my gosh, that sounds so great. And then conservatives are like, no, we're not going to cover your higher education. And they get turned off to that. But what we're saying is that we need to find a way to make it affordable, so that we don't have to cover that for you, and that you are on a path to success, whether or not that involves higher education or it doesn't, that doesn't hurt you fiscally. That's what we would like to have happen.
It's predatory.
Exactly.
That's like, yeah.
And we're allocating this money to weapons that aren't needed, insane things. I'm not a big fan of the military.
Okay, I'm gonna move on.
Weapons that aren't needed. Can you define what that means? Can you define what weapons that aren't needed are? Because Ukraine would have said, well, we don't need guns. And now look, the money we need to give them. Let's keep going.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I think the military overall, like 90-10 is like better than not.
I think it is very, very conservative to be very pro-military. That's like a poster conservative ideology.
I'm personally pretty pro-military, but I don't know. I'm not that passionate about it, to get into the conversation they're having.
Okay, I kind of have a question about like representative diversity. A lot of times when we talk about diversity and things like that, it's never a progressive. It's always just like appearance-based diversity.
I care more about policies than like being represented.
Yeah, like I could care less but like the policy.
You know, like I'm definitely for like we need to diversify like models or like people that we see in these industries, but I do.
Oh my God, I'm crying because I need to cough, but okay. I love that they're having this discussion about what does actual diversity look like, because it's a point that we bring up a lot on our side of the things. Sorry, guys, just dying. About representation being more important when it comes to values and ideas and what you bring forth to the table in terms of character rather than your skin color. So I'm curious to see where they go in this debate. It seems like some of them are actually anti-DEI. And saying we don't need this diversity, equity, and inclusion program.
I think it should be more like who they are.
I mean, because like equity is the goal, right? Like if we did a better job of identifying differences.
Equity is not the goal.
First place, then we wouldn't have so much time like making up for it. Colorblind society led to this issue with DEI, which I like find really annoying every training I have to go to. Anyone like particularly pro-capitalism or like anti?
I'm kind of anti. I'm pretty anti. Yeah.
Dude, I feel like Max is the most liberal.
No surprise there.
Yeah, he's like, sorry, anti-cop, anti-military, anti-capitalism. He's got to be. I feel like he's the most liberal.
Okay. I mean, I participate in it because you got to.
I think I'm in the camp of, like, I'm more of an equitable capitalist. Like, I feel like we could do capitalism better, or, like, we could fix it.
I think that's cool. It's like the guy in Seattle that forfeited his wage and turned everyone's wage to $71,500.
Oh, Dan Price?
Yeah.
We are in a world where people have yachts and are going to space for fun while there are people dying on the streets and, like, starving. Like, you know, if you can...
Capitalism and equity kind of sort of cancel each other out if you think about it. Equity is something that is contingent upon the mechanisms that socialism and communism rely on. Going, okay, here's a 3-foot person trying to look over a wall and a 6-foot person trying to look over a wall. We could get the 3-foot person a ladder, or we could cut the 6-foot person off at the knees and say, well, now you're 3 foot. That's what equity's doing. It's cutting off people and saying you're all equal and you're all equally poor. You're all equally on this bottom rung of society while our government holds all of the resources that put you there. So to say that you're for equity and capitalism at the same time, I would love to have a further discussion about how exactly that would work or what that would look like, because so far, equity has not proved itself to be a good solution. Humans naturally place themselves in a hierarchy. And if you made everybody equally poor or did universal basic income tomorrow, other people would be striving to make more money and to create a new hierarchy. It's just how we naturally form. It's how we naturally progress.
You can give more. I think you could and you should, just because it's like, it's a group.
How much does one person need, really?
Really?
But who defines that?
But the system.
See, she's sounding pretty conservative. He said, you know, how much does a person need? Which is often what people say when they're looking at people who are rich, like the Elon Musk, the Bill Gates, the Mark Zuckerbergs. How much money could somebody possibly need? Well, that's not for you to decide. And we live in a society, somewhat of a free market, we got to work on that. But where people are able to create these mountains of wealth, and, you know, where you have billionaires, you have millionaires, and people who make hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then down and down and down and down. But it's not for you to decide, specifically not for your government to decide, how much money is enough money for you to make. And if you want to strive to make more, and you're creating a product that contributes to our society and contributes to whatever your consumer base is, and that product brings you in profit and money, more power to you. And this competitive nature that we're in of people wanting to create products and garner profit, whether their motivation is money or progress or contributing a product to our society, has worked to make us an innovative economy and a country that is constantly growing and progressing. If you take away the competitive nature that humans naturally have, first of all, it will rear its ugly head in a way that we're not ready for, and it will happen again and again and again because it's who we are naturally. But it also staves off progress.
System that we all were born into and our parents were born into, we all kind of were opted into the capitalist system where we kind of thought, like, oh, we make the most money, you earned it and all that stuff. But Jeff Bezos got all that money, bro, and we got hella homeless people on Skid Row.
Yeah, like, what's up with that? Yeah. But, like, the thing is, no. It's still illegal to take his money.
Jeff Bezos has all this money, but we still have homeless people on Skid Row. Are those things connected? Some could look at it and say, well, yeah, on a basic level, they're connected because Jeff Bezos has a lot of money and seemingly money could fix the Skid Row problem. But like I told you before, California is the state that spends the most money on homelessness in the entire nation. Skid Row still exists. Skid Row is, in fact, still growing. Our homelessness population is still growing. So to look at people like Jeff Bezos and say, well, it's your fault because you've created a successful product and you've made all this money, and now we need the money that you brought in yourself to fix this problem, is wrong, especially when the mountains of money that we are throwing at it right now are not solving the issue. It's about the policy. It's about how effective things are. It's about looking at results rather than intentions. And right now we are not doing that. So it's very simple for people to tell you, well, money could fix this, and look at all these people who have money and they're not giving you any of it. And then you go, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Couple that in with a little bit of envy of these people who make mountains of money that you don't have, and it's a recipe for progressivism.
We have politicians don't really care about the well-being of the working class people and stuff like that.
I agree with you.
Minimum wage is still $7.25, What are we doing here, guys?
I guess here's like a question though. I guess, so, you know, I want the best for everyone, but that also kind of puts like some personal responsibility on it. I don't want someone to just kind of like get a bunch of money and then do nothing.
I think that's...
That's a fair point.
Yes, girl sounded, she sounds like she's at least a centrist on the stuff that she's talking about. Totally fair point. You shouldn't be able to sit and do nothing and then take money from people who are doing something and take resources from people who are doing something. And I think that's just a common statement of fairness that we would all like to see come to fruition in our society. But right now we have people in our country who do nothing and then still get all the benefits that people who are actually contributing to society get.
She brought up a key word there, a phrase, personal responsibility. None of them are talking about how people actually should earn and work for what they're getting
right.
in return. And that's the kind of the saddest part.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of this discussion is like, what can other people do for me? What can, you know, what can your government do for you today? And that is the scope that they look at things through. Like, I'm a person living here in this country, what can be given to me or what do I deserve, rather than what can I give in order to deserve something.
A left-leaning thing to think about how everyone should be up and working and doing that. I think that's more than fine to say because I think everyone contributes for a society to work.
Some of what you just said right now, I feel like I might be on the other side of you on that issue. People work so hard and it's not like it's a fair game to start out with. So sure, no, yeah, people shouldn't be just like sitting if they can do something else, but if they can't, they still deserve comfort and to live like a life of dignity.
Again, deserving comfort. Interesting thing. You guys let me know in the comments. Do you think that people deserve comfort? There's a lot of strong words, deserving and comfort. Very, very strong words. Do I think people deserve dignity? Absolutely. Do I think that we as a society should be working to help those who are underprivileged or incapable of contributing to society? Totally. And we can talk about exactly how you do that and what that looks like. But this idea that people are deserving of comfort simply by being born, questionable.
I don't think I care what they're doing.
Just doing something.
What if they just want to relax and chill, man?
Life
is stressful. Sometimes you want to just have a good, like,
Dude just said, if people just want to relax and chill, they should still get all the benefits and they still deserve comfort and they still deserve resources from the government and things like housing and stuff like that. If you just want to relax and chill. Sir, everybody wants to relax and chill. I'm sure if all of you got the offer tomorrow from your boss and they said, you know, we actually have too many employees here at the company today. I would love to still pay you your salary, but you can go home and relax and chill. A lot of people would raise their hands and be like, absolutely, I would do that. But what happens when your whole society does that? And when your government makes it an incentive to do that, like they've done thus far? We have a massive problem. You have people not going to work. You have people not contributing. You have progress not being made. And then these issues just compound and jump onto one another and create things like debt, which we are in substantial debt right now as a nation that is almost insurmountable. But they create problems down the line. So you can't just go, what if people just want to relax and chill and the government takes care of it for them? Again, it's constantly asking, what can the government, which is meant to be small, what can big government do for me to make my life more comfortable and to make me have to do less in my life? And that's the wrong question you should be asking yourself.
It's like, I don't know. I don't think there is anything wrong with that.
Okay, you guys are now going to go to politicalcompass.org and take the test there.
Okay, they're taking the test.
In spot number 5, Allison.
I figured.
Solid.
Nice.
But she's still... Well, let me look at her little compass thing really quick. Still pretty out there in left field, but she's number 5, least liberal.
Solid.
Nice.
In spot number 4, we have...
Yeah.
Real. Wow. I'm shocked.
I was kind of surprised that Max was, like, next to me.
ACAB, anti-capitalist, anti-military... Max is...
Somebody's lying.
I feel like, oh my gosh, but I went and took this political compass test and the questions are interesting and some of them leading. So I can see where there might be some skewed results here, but Max is number 4. Interesting.
He just gave me vibes of someone who is more like anti-establishment, anti-like capitalism, more like anarchy kind of vibes.
This was
in spot number three, we have Christian.
Hey. Okay. Yeah. Solid in the middle, makes sense.
In spot number two, we have AJ.
Oh, okay. Nice.
AJ, woof.
Spot number one, we have Brandy.
Interesting.
You're right about her.
So we weren't close.
She's like, yeah, hell yeah. Okay, so this is where they ended up. I was right about the black girl being the most liberal, but that was, you know, just out there. And Max being down here, I highly question with all the things that he said. I'm curious, do you guys agree with this ranking? Do you think that this is true? I went and took the Political Compass test, and you guys can do the same by going to politicalcompass.org, not sponsored. And this is where I landed. I'm like, little right, libertarian, right in this little purple square right here. But the questions were not, I don't think, the best markers for where you lie politically when they ask a lot of questions about, like, how you feel about other people's sexuality and stuff like that, which I could not care less about. But you guys go and take it. I'm curious where you guys land. Maybe I'll make a community post of my Political Compass score, and you guys can comment yours down below beneath it and let me know where you land. I am so curious. But this ended up being what I think to be a pretty fruitful conversation among five people who agree on some things and disagree on others. And I would love to see more of that happen. Is there commentary that you wish I had said, something that you wish I had noted or talked about that I didn't? Is there a point that you feel like we should have discussed further, or maybe things that we need to do a full episode on and some of the discussions that we had watching this video today? Let me know in the comments down below. And that concludes our episode for this beautiful Thursday. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. That's 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And I'm going to see you guys tomorrow for Fun Friday. If you'd like to listen to us, go to Google Play, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And as soon as this stream ends, I'm going to cough because I feel like coughing right now. Thank you guys so much for watching. If I live to see you tomorrow, I'll be there. Bye, guys.